on. This is, to me, the most excited message I've ever preached in 20-something years on Mother's Day. And I guess I remember last year, Kenny preached on Mother's Day, and he said the Mother's Day message is Happy Mother's Day, and he went and preached his normal sermon. So this year, I'm actually going to go back to it. But if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus 20. And while you're doing that, I'm going to share a few things. What's looking at? Oh. Hey, we have a rookie. It's okay. So if you're visiting, you can tell that we focus on money a lot here. So, hey, let's take up our tithes and offerings this morning, continue to sow into the kingdom, and bless your tithes and offerings today. Wow, we're on it today. All right. Let me pray a blessing. Father, we thank you that you've given seed to the sower. You've given us the ability to not only walk in the blessing, but sow so others can be blessed around us. So we are just so grateful for the obedience in the hearts of those that are here in this room today. And we ask you to just pour out your blessing and continue protection over all their lives, including their finances now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you're giving, we'll just keep going, Exodus 20. But this morning's Mother's Day message is really kind of heartfelt to me because I'm going to share some stuff. Both my kids are in there, so they're going to hear some things, too, that is good for all of us. I wish I would have applied some of these things more in my life, as we're going to all look at as we get here. But first of all, let's start talking about moms have one of the biggest struggles when it comes to balance. If you don't think about the pressure on a mother, let me just help you out. I've been doing some reading a little bit. I even listened to a few sermons this week. It's kind of fun about Mother's Day just because I want to do something different. But I took their stuff here, and then I just ended up finding out my own like I normally do. But if you look at there's a constant pressure, if you want to use that word, for moms to have to perform, to meet expectations, to meet comparisons, whether it's things they've heard, movies they've seen, things that they're perceiving. Some of them are self-imposed. Mothers and wives, I'm gonna start out with this. We're going to kind of keep a parallel today, mothers and wives. They have to learn how to balance the pressures they feel to perform in their lives. Some of you are like, well, I don't feel that way. Good, then you're one of the minorities, I'll be honest. Because they want to be the perfect mom, they want to be the perfect wife. They want to be there for their children. Yet, so if you think about it, they want to be the most caring and loving mom, yet they want to not worry and live in fear over being that way for the children. They want to be the most protective mom. They want to make sure that they're praying for their kids, but they're not letting that fear grip in there. Or we want to be so loving that we don't want to enable our children either. Anybody ever, if anything errs in my family, we tend to like our kids. We want to take care of them and be that perfect parent. And so some of you go to the ends over here wanting to spoil your children, enable them. But enabling is very dangerous because it's not love. When you enable a child's bad decisions and there's no consequences for those decisions, they're going to grow up one day and keep living under those same decisions with no consequences, and they're going to live a life with no boundaries at all that are imposed by themselves because they were never imposed on them. My mom and dad taught me something a long time ago because when we started learning about the issues of rejection in our lives, and it's actually a book that I read probably 20-something years ago. But one of the ways it actually, on a side note, it was my dad's mentor who wrote the book, and it was just a really neat, but it was called The Ins and the Out of Rejection. And it was a book about rejection. It talks about how people, believe it or not, when you do not put boundaries and you do not put guardrails around children, they can look at that as a form of rejection. Do you know that the control, being over-controlling, can be rejecting, can perceive rejection on a child, but so can spoiling them. Because, or the ones that parents, I don't know if anybody grew up in here, that you want to do everything for your kids. You don't want them to fail, so you do. I'll take it. And the overprotective, that can come across as rejection because, like, I'm not good enough to do it. But we don't realize that as moms, these pressures to be, and dads too, by the way, but it's Mother's Day, so you guys get to wait. But the self-imposed pressure in them to want to be the perfect mom, to raise your child up, to balance it over here where they're not so loving and they're so, but they're not enabling over here. They're not loving over here, but spoiling over here. They're not praying for them and they're you know, if you're my parents, I mean, I don't know how my mom and dad, well, they still, this is a true story. 2 weeks ago, my son was in Florida. And he was out with some friends that used to go to church here that lived down there. And they were out hanging out. And he came home late. And he literally walked in, went to bed, and he said, oh, yeah, I didn't even wake up Grandma and Papa. And I first, that's impossible. It's impossible. Because when I grew up, my mom and dad didn't go to bed till they knew that I was in bed. And when I was in Florida just a couple months ago myself, I went out with actually the same family, but their parents. And I was out with Brad, and I ended up staying out there really late talking, hanging out. And I got in at like at 1:30 in the morning, and my mom gets up the next morning, late night, huh? Hey, I'm almost 50 years, I'm in like my late 40s. I said, well, we couldn't sleep until you got home. I said, I've had a few kids. And I said, what? She was like, it's just that pattern. And she lashes. No, we were in bed, but then we heard the door. I'm like, I must be louder than him or something. But you see, my mom and dad lived that way where they would not go to bed until they knew that we were home at night. But whether that was fear or whether that was just love, I don't know. That's for them to choose. But the balance we have as moms is to not live in either one of these ditches. And believe it or not, the pressure for moms, especially with younger children too, is to be the perfect parent, is a struggle they all encounter. And then also balance that by being the perfect wife, because they want to be there for their husband. They want to be there. They want to. And these pressures mount on mothers a lot. I've read a lot about this. It's really fun. I was actually listening to a Christian teacher talking about some stuff this week. And I didn't realize, I guess, how much it is and how much it might be affecting our wives or our mothers. So on Mother's Day this week, we need to have a little bit more grace and compassion and sympathy for those pressures that they have encountering every day. They want to be the perfect. I mean, I don't know, there's a mom in the room that says, well, I'm a mom, I guess I'll just try my best. I really don't care that much about the kids, but they're here. No, they love their children so much. And, you know, if we're not careful and we don't discipline, we don't do the things we should that are difficult, we raise up spoiled brats, okay? And we have a world right now full of spoiled, disrespectful brats. I said that. I did. I said that. I watch TV, and I look at the way, and I watch things right now, and I don't care with all the media. I'm not going to be politically correct at all. But I support, whether there's been a few bad policemen, but I support our law enforcement 150% because they go out and put their lives in line. You have a police officer that pulls somebody over, and every time they walk up to a window, they risk getting shot. Every time they do something, they risk their lives. And yet, we have a few bad apples, like you have a few bad, you know, you had a few bad doctors too. They better, I mean, real, I'll tell you, real sad, the one who delivered, the doctor who wanted to deliver our kids no longer is in practice right now because he was a bad doctor. Both of them actually, I don't have it, our kids, but both the doctors, they were not our main doctor, but they were both on-call doctors because both kids were our main doctor was on vacation. Neither one of them had their practice today because they were bad doctors, did illegal things. It doesn't mean every doctor is bad. And you can go on with every profession, doesn't matter. And you know, call a plumber, same thing, right? Call an electrician, your house catches on fire, not everyone's bad. Point being, I'm not going to be political, but the way that we treat our law enforcement is an embarrassment. The way that we treat those in authority over us is wrong. It's disrespectful, and it needs to be taught in our homes to respect those offices. Whether you like our current president or not, I'm not one who obviously does agree with a lot of things that are being done in the White House right now. It doesn't mean we should be disrespecting the office and teaching our children this. You can go ahead, by the way, and point out clearly all the things that are being done wrong, and that's okay, because we want to teach them wrong and right. Let's be careful not to disrespect. I personally have a lot of opinions, and sometimes I probably am over here erring on the other side of them, saying things that are, I get frustrated too, just like all of us. We live in a world right now that we've went from feeling that we had a president that was being attacked all the time, protecting Christian rights, doing these things for the Christians, and protecting the unborn, and on we go, protecting our soldiers, protecting jobs. Now we go over here, and I wonder, where are we going now? We are living in a world. And a couple weeks ago, just as a little pause button here, I was sitting in the front row as Kenny was preaching the last two Sundays about really the dilemma of what we're going through in America right now. And I sat there and I thought, I've been doing this for 24 years. And I never thought, and imagined we'd be living in a day where we have to have a pastor get up here and talk about bills and legislation going through that are destructive to the nature of our education system, our culture, Christians, to pastors being forced into, if some of these laws gets passed, pastors will be forced into doing things they have complete, you know, performing a marriage they have complete conviction not to do, but or lose their churches. We had to have a pastor get up 2 weeks ago, and I sat there in the front row and said, wow, this is awesome that we are going to be a church that stands up for these things. And we have a pastor up there preaching truth and informing the people about what's going on. And I was just so encouraged to see Kenny fill that void that we need desperately. We need men and women who are going to stand up in the face of truth. And you know what? And even I will tell you this, and I don't know what the truth is or not on this, but even we got some feedback, there's an education thing coming up here soon. And already knowing that some of the we're hosting this, and there might be some backlash from that because it's going to be opposite of what the school's teaching. The 1619 project, I guess, was it Texas, Kenny, that just said we're not preaching it, we're not teaching it no more? Florida, a couple of states are starting to stand up and say, listen, we're not going to put this garbage in our schools. So there's a time for us to stand, and I am just, this is totally not my notes, by the way. This is all Kenny's fault, but when he filled the pulpit the last, because obviously he fills it all the time, but the last 2 weeks that he was preaching and he was sharing the culture war that we live in, whether it's transgender, whether it's this, we are living in a war. And he made a comment that I'm going to repeat here. He said, it's unbelievable that today we live in a culture that homosexuality used to be the issue 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and now is widely accepted by churches. And this week I will sadden you greatly. Amy and Kenny and I sat in that office for longer than expected. We were helping Shelly get some of the churches and pastors, and we didn't know all of them. We got on some websites of our local Martinsville churches, and we're blown away by how many churches in their websites say, we accept all, no matter what. Even would say, we accept this and this, this. We love you, everyone's welcome, and God loves you the way you are. And after a while, we're sitting here going, I don't know if I want to look up any more churches I don't know about. Because the problem is the church is okay with it now. We're hearing about, even in our national, and I'm not going to mention names because I don't know the people personally, but even major people that we listen to, whether it's preachers or worship leaders, even they have taken a different stance, and they're twisting scriptures like saying, and actually Robbie shared a story with us at lunch last week. He said there is when he would confront them, because you know he's pretty opinionated about this issue too, and he said, so you're telling me that what the Bible, even though it's very clear about God's view that homosexuality is a sin, they came back and said, well, the Bible says you're supposed to cover your heads in church, and women don't cover their heads in church too. So what we're saying is because we don't honor this cultural belief, we can disregard sin. I don't see a similarity between them at all. One is a sin that God has spelled out as sin. The other was a cultural mindset. And even that was a church custom. Now, whether we need to start wearing, you know, if you guys want to start wearing hats or something, you're welcome to, I guess, ladies, I don't know. But either way, we're seeing a demise of compromise, and we're not a compromise even in the church. But I said in the front row, and I'm going to stop and I'll get back to my notes, we are going to be that church. And we shouldn't be concerned no matter what comes as backlash of it. Because we're going to keep going down a path. John Bevere said years ago in a teaching we did here, come on in. Oh. He said, there is a culture, there's a counterculture, and there's a subculture. The culture is the way we live in America, in the world today, and it just keeps going away from the principles of God every day. A counterculture is a complete opposite of that, polar opposite, and no, this is the word of God, this is what the word says, we believe it, and we're going to stand on that no matter what. But a subculture goes along with the culture, and they compromise just not as bad. They're a subculture of the compromise culture. And what we're doing is we're living as Christians, not realizing we ourselves are over here, and we're not in the word anymore. We know God's word says things very clearly. And if we're not careful, the culture continues to shift over here. And we don't think we're that bad because we don't believe the way they do. But trust me, some of the subcultures the church is in right now is completely opposite of what God's word teaches. So, Kenny, thank you for standing up for the word and for what we believe as Christians. And it's time we continue to stand. Amen? Amen. So the pressures that face back these notes, I have no idea how we're going to segue. So let's pull a men's group and say, forget this one. Let's just get back. Because sometimes Mark, he's amazing. He'll get there and hear one little word and go, oh, yeah, that reminds me of what I was saying over here. And he pulls it out together. Well, I'm just not that good today. He can pull. But these self-imposed and these pressures that get put on moms on a daily basis is something I think we should have more compassion for. I think we should understand that they want to be the best mom, the best wife, the best, and they want to be there for everybody. And ultimately, we have no idea, because maybe you'll never hear about it, is there's a pressure that is internal. And whether we like it or not, it's because they want to be excellent. They want to be a good mom. They want to be a good wife. They want to do what's best for their husband and their children. And sometimes that balance is difficult. I mean, I don't know, in my home, My kids could talk to, I don't know, dad would be upset or something. I'd be in the room, and then one of my kids would just throw this, we'd say maybe the oldest one specifically, just throwing out there, would want to go and talk to mom and put mom right in the middle of it. Moms, that is the worst position you could ever be in. You know that. But you have to be in that position because that is what families are about. If they feel that they can go talk to mom about how bad dad is today and how mean dad was and all these things that can happen, do you support your husband or do you support your child? Whoops. How do you do both? Go enjoy that one. Don't answer. You can do both, but it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of... You don't want to go bash your husband because, and especially when your kid's right. Because every once in a while, my kids were right that I overreacted about something and I maybe did say, maybe my kids were right. It puts her in a really bad position trying to, I can't defend him, he's an idiot. But I can't tell my kid that because I can't tell my kid if I tell my kid that, yeah, dad, just be an idiot. Then I'm disrespecting. Wow. Do you ever think about this? These are positions that moms can put in growing. And as you and littler kids over there, it just is more fun then. You're about to experience more. So let's love and have this Mom's Day, have a complete new appreciation and encouragement and compassion for the roles they have played in your life. Amen? So with that, Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to jump to Ephesians 5, or 6, excuse me. All right, Exodus 20, verse 12, it says this, honor thy father and thy mother, that their days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read the same thing again. This time it's going to add something to it. Ephesians 6, we're going to read the first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it is well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. Now, there's been a lot of speculation what that means, that if you don't treat your parents right, you might not live long. There's a lot of reasons that could happen. I'm just saying we're not going to go ahead and try to throw all that out there now. As I think one preacher used to say, we brought you in this world, we could take you out of it. I'm just saying I've heard a lot of rumors out there. But all I know is this. This is a commandment God says. If you treat your parents with honor and respect, your days will be long. Can you imply then? And I'm please do not go ahead and try to apply this to a situation you know, because this would be a stretch. But I can then imply by scriptural right here that if I honor my mom and my dad and I show them respect, I have long days. What happens when I dishonor and disrespect my mom and my dad? Does it mean then that my days could be shortened? By implication, you can assume that right there through scripture. That there are people, young ones, I truly believe that when they put the covering of disrespect over their lives and they take off the covering of honor, then there are things that happen in their lives because God's protection, mom and dad, has been pulled away by their own choices of disrespect and dishonor. and it's caused them to have harm in their lives, not because it's God's will and definitely not because of the parents' will, but because of the choices they've made. And I believe we live in a world today where we're seeing a lot more tragedy, maybe because we have a lot more dishonor and disrespect in the world around us. I believe that. You don't have to. I think Robbie said it best last week. I got the microphone. You can't prove me wrong, so I guess I win today. But either way, I believe there's a good line he has. I'm going to use that one often, by the way, that Robbie, he did it like all weekend. But and there were things he said that I like, okay, that is your opinion. I don't know if I quite agree with that, but you know, he had the microphone, so we respected it. But it was a good weekend, though, guys, a really good weekend. I just believe that if we would be more respectful of those parents that we have in our lives would be more blessed and they would have long days and healthy days. And that is the promise that comes with this. The second thing, as we said, children obey your Lord. But I want to go ahead and go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and let's read these verses right now. Starting in verse 25, we're not going to talk about husbands or our wives right now because that'll be the Mother's Day message. We're going to talk about how you wives will be treating us better. But that's another day. Husbands, verse 25. Oh, I can't wait till Father's Day now because this is going to be a little bit hard on you dads. I'm just going to give you a heads up right now. This part is not going to be pleasant for some of us in this room, including myself. Husbands, love your wives. Sounds easy. Oh, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, and even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of the flesh of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife should show reverence to her husband. We'll get to that second part of that last verse on Father's Day, how as wives show honor and reverence towards her husband, that's an example. But first, we're going to start with this. Honor thy father and thy mother. Husbands, love your wives. I believe the home today, and I told you, this is the most important Father's Day message, and I'll try to, I did it with humor earlier with my own family, but I know in many areas, as I looked in this week and was preparing and praying for this, for some reason, the Lord was convicting me how I could be a better example as a father the way that I've treated my wife. Husbands in the room, if you just would, our kids are watching. I'll give you a couple stories, and I guarantee you my dad is one of the greatest examples of the men of God I know. But when my mom and my dad first met years ago, it's a story that my dad told me, and it stuck with me, and it actually stuck with Beth, too. But my dad was disrespecting his wife when they were very, very newly married. And my dad's dad looked at him and said, "Son, don't you ever disrespect my daughter that way. That is your wife and my daughter, and you'll never speak to her that way in front of me." And the same thing applied when he was talking back to his dad, his mother one day, and didn't see dad in the room. You know, back then they didn't have abusive laws like we do now. Let's just say that he felt a sudden burn on his face in realizing that dad was standing right beside him when he decided to lip back to his mother. And he said, "You'll never speak to my wife that way." Now, we don't do that today, and I'm not encouraging it, even though it does. Actually, I forget the guy, Jensen Franklin. Is that the guy of Atlanta? Thank you. I was listening to one of his this week, and he mentioned the same exact story, which is why I laugh. I go, "Hey, that's the same thing." That he was mouthing off to his mother one day. His dad walked behind him and smacked him across. He goes, "All I felt was this warm, burning feeling like, what just happened to me?" And, of course, the place cheered down in Atlanta because they have different rules, I guess, down there. But he says, every once in a while, he goes, "You know what I did? I'll never, ever forget that moment of disrespecting my mother." I'm not saying that's the way to handle problems. But I am saying that back in the day, that's the way it was done. But you know what it did? It sent a message that woman, your mother, is my wife, and you don't disrespect her. But you know what it also means, gentlemen? We don't disrespect her either. It means that if we want our children to honor and love their mother, maybe as dads and husbands, we ought to do a better job loving and honoring those wives too. I'm sure it's just going to get quieter as I go, so just take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. There is a conclusion at end. Maybe as husbands, we ought to realize the little eyes are watching us all the time. And they realize that as when I grew up, my dad had the look. I don't know if any of you guys have it, but trust me, that look pierced me and it pierced my mom. And we'd be driving down the road and all of a sudden something would happen. I'd look and it wasn't me getting a look, so I was happy, but then it was my mom getting a look. Can I tell you a little secret? My mom and dad are probably the most amazing marriage I've ever been around. But as a kid, I did not know how amazing their marriage was because I judged them based on things I observed. Let me explain that. You observe the argument. You observe the harsh words said. You observe the look that says, shut up. You see that. But you don't see later, or you didn't see what caused the reaction, either not saying the response was right. You didn't see what caused it, but you also didn't see the making up part. You weren't part of the apology part where maybe earlier that day there was an altercation and someone was reacting out of anger because of a hurt earlier. You don't know that because you didn't see the whole story. But guess what? As parents, we realize they're watching us. All they saw was that. And my mom and dad, you know, because later on in life, you know, all these memories come back flooding and I was talking to them about these things growing up. And my mom and dad reminded me, do you know after that car ride, do you ever remember what happened? I said, no, I never do. He goes, do you always remember that we made a beeline right to our bedroom up there? We shut that door, and we didn't leave that door until we knew we were at peace again. We resolved our problems. We resolved those things that were disagreements, but they did it behind closed doors like it should have been done in the first place. As parents, we got to guard our children from seeing those things. I know I wasn't always innocent in this. When you're frustrated, you say things that are frustrating, and your children observe it. I would challenge you, this is where my conclusion ends here, by the way, with this part. It's even better news for you. I would challenge every husband in this room over the next couple days as you pray and ask the Lord to show you these things. Maybe if you get a moment with your children to say, you know, I didn't realize as you grow up, whether this big or this big, I didn't realize some of the things I said and did as a dad to your mother. And I want to apologize to you because it was a poor example and it allowed me to disrespect your mother. Gentlemen, I think that'd be a really great way to bring healing to relationships in this room and even outside this room. Hey, it's between you and the Lord now. I did what I said. Husbands, love your wives. Love her in a way that children and all around are jealous of the fact that the love that you have for them is absolutely amazing. So just throwing it out there, you're being watched, guys. And the way you treat her is the way that your children are watching you. And they'll raise up one day, and let me ask you this question. If that all they had was a snapshot of the argument, is that the way that you'd want to see your son treat their future wife? True? Let's be that example. And I know it's tough because you know one thing about these kids? They don't go home. It is their home. So they watch everything. And so it is unfair that we have no home turf but we have to be careful, especially when they're younger. They watch everything. The other thing I'll tell you now, this is more for the kids in the room. It says, honor thy mom and thy dad. So let's go to the honor part. Are we honoring our mothers in such a way that we're doing a few things, and I have a few things listed here, and actually this was some things that Jensen Franklin shared in his message. He said, if we would learn to treat our mothers in a way that we learn to love them unconditionally, hug them affectionately, listen to them intensely, honor them in such a way that they know they're accepted. I don't know about you, but every single person in this room has a language, a love language they operate in. Whether it's hugs, physical touch, whether it's words, whether it's gifts, whether it's time, whether it's whether it's acts of service, these things that the five love languages everyone knows about now. Whether it is, have you ever realized that your mom has those too? Have you ever thought about children in the room? Because we always talk about husbands and wives learning each other's love language. What if your mom's love language is quality time. And she, you go home and you buy her something and you tell her you love her every day, you give her a big hug, but she just wants to spend time with you. She really needs that. She needs those words. She needs whatever language that she operates in the most. She needs you to do that for her too. Children in the room, I would challenge you as I just challenged the fathers, which they might be talking to me later about saying thanks a lot for doing that publicly. Hey, I'm in the same boat you all are. I told you up front, I have videos in my life that, wow, I wish I would have never said that way. I wish I would have never, all the wish I would have nevers in my life. There's so many that I could probably count. I wish I was perfect, but not even close. But I know this, that I hope my children will forgive me for the way that I've had those moments, just as your children will. But now, children, are you going to now learn to maybe come before your mom in such a way that says, hey, listen, I am truly sorry for the times I've just dishonored and disrespected you too. And the way that you should repent is not just to say, I'm sorry, but to do these things, love her, hug her, listen to her, be there, when you listen, value her opinion. I wrote that was one thing that he said this week. Value her opinion. Do you know that, this is a funny story, I think Jensen actually, I think he shared this with him. It's amazing how as parents, we raise our children, and they have children, and we're like, all of a sudden, like, well, we're going to go to a movie or something, but you got to make sure you take care of my kid right. Hey, they raised you. You're safe. But isn't it weird how we have a hard time trusting our parents to watch our kids? Just saying, hey, make sure you don't let them get hit by a car. Well, you grew up and you get hit by a car. But, you know, listening to them now, I'm not in that stage yet, thankfully, so we're good. There's a few stages I haven't hit in my life. This is one of them. But I hope that as adult parents that have children, listen to your mom and dad. Listen to their counsel. They raised you. You're here. You're alive. You're not dead. Listen to their counsel. Listen to their wisdom. And learn that just as they listened to you your whole life growing up, now you can listen to them. Joshua shared this with me, and I do it every time. Well, it was just not just him. When I was down with my dad a couple years ago, I flew down there just to see him for the weekend or for a few days. And I don't think we left his office from like 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And all I did is I listened to my dad talk about his stories when he was in the Army in the Panama Canal training people to go to Vietnam. You know, my dad was a businessman, a preacher. I knew he was an Army guy. I just never realized how much of an Army guy he was. I was sitting there like, who is this man I'm listening to? This is awesome. He talked about some of the stories and some of the pranks they played on each other. Terrible, by the way, because the snakes down there aren't small. And he's like, some of the pranks they played, putting snakes up there. I'm like, whoa, you guys are evil. But I was sitting here talking to this man who's my dad, learning things about him, listening to him talk and reminisce about his life. I actually went back to the bedroom and I just teared up thinking, what a moment that was just to hear my dad just pour out life experiences for me to listen to. Things that I'll remember forever. Growing up, children, do we ever do that with our moms? Sit down. And my mom, oh my goodness, my mom can sit down and tell me stories and stories. And then, of course, they always call me those little nicknames when I was a kid. And I won't mention the names that she, but actually last weekend, for those that know, my mom was just really, you know, battling some things. And so Robbie was back there. We were praying for my mom, and she, before she said goodbye, she called me one of the nicknames, and she actually texted us later, I am so sorry, too embarrassed. I said, Mom, I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. You're my mother. You know, no one's going to care. But you see, moms need that too, no matter how old you get. We've got to become these people that moms have sowed their entire life into you. Now we get a chance to sow back into them. Love them, listen to them, show affection toward them, and be there for them. Worship team, you can come on up here. So my conclusion is this today. Husbands, be the example that you want your children one day to treat their spouse like. And children, live out a place that gives mom compassion and grace because she's trying to balance your well-being. Do you know that moms get angry too? Did you know that? I mean, do you know that moms get to the point where she wants to actually strangle their children? I don't know if you knew this or not. It's true. They have those moments where they go, really, Lord, this is a blessing? I really don't see how this is a blessing right now. And I will say one more thing, too, as I'm concluding, as they're getting ready. There's no such thing as a terrible twos, or something through the loathsome, or whatever it is. There's no such thing as those things. Because when our children are disciplined in the Lord, we don't put labels on them, and we don't put excuses on their behavior. We raise them up the way the Lord would have them be raised. And when whatever phase they go through, we believe that God's grace and his power is greater than any of those things. Don't ever label your children, especially ones that have younger ones now. Don't label your children in such a way where, oh, they're just going through the terrible twos. No, they don't have to. They don't have to do that. They can go to the awesome twos and the amazing threes and the wonderful fours and everything else through life. They can go through them all because they have parents that are raising them in the way of the Lord. So be blessed, moms and husbands and children. I pray that you will hear this message and I, in a way that I love you and I love myself enough to say this too, because I know that I have failed as a father in these areas myself. I wish I could say I've never said anything I shouldn't say or done anything I shouldn't do in front of my children, being a perfect husband, but I haven't been. And neither have you. But it doesn't mean we can't repent and show them an example of humility and love to support our wives in a way that support their mother. Because I don't know about you. If something ever was going to harm our moms, our kids might go after them, even if it is their dad. They develop those bitter judgments towards their dad. Because the way they watch it, believe it or not, it happens. We've been ministering to people for a long time. And even though some of the parents we know have great relationships and we know the story behind it all, as a child, they observed these few things and it caused anger towards one of the parents because of the way they treated the husband or the wife. So let's become an answer of bringing healing today and no longer allowing the enemy to come in there and stop you. Amen. Let's stand here. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. And let's just close out in worship today. And Father, I thank you for every mother in this room. I thank you that even as we've heard today, the balance of wanting to be the perfect wife and the perfect mother, trying to live with the world around us tells us. And even as I'm praying, by the way, real quick, I just feel this. And I don't know, as I'm praying right now, being the Proverbs 31 woman is not a list to live by and expectations to perform. It is a picture scripturally of what a wife and a mother could be. But a lot of people feel condemnation that they're not those things. We just break that off of every mother in this room right now. You don't have to perform for anybody. So every mom in this room, we break off every expectation, every false, self-imposed expectation. Any insecurities of way they have been as a wife or a mother, we just break that off of them and pray, just speak a peace over their lives, a blessing over them to be enjoying these wonderful years of being a mother and a wife. That it wouldn't be such anxiousness and stress, but instead it would be a blessing to be the wife and the mother you've called them to be. How they ought to function, not as other moms and wives do, but how they are before you as moms and wives. And I pray for every husband in this room that as you begin to even bring those areas of conviction, like even in my own life, that we would respond in a way that would bring healing to our children so they don't have to be raising up these little areas of resentment they might not even know about. But we could break the power of the enemy right now by dethroning those things and bringing such healing to those children in our lives. And as children, may we break the cycle of disrespect and dishonor, that our days might be long and blessed, that we would honor the mother that you have put in our lives in such a way that even if we don't like her at times, we are always to honor them. And I just pray that today there would be healing and there would be miracles take place in homes today because of the repentance and the act of honor in this room today. We pray this and we bless every mom in this room and even grandmas in the room now, in Jesus' name.